recently, just a week ago, I guess, was listening to a radio interview on a program called This American Life. I didn't catch the whole, it's a weekly program, I didn't catch the whole thing, but the one section I did listen to was a story about a man in his late 20s that maybe uncharacteristically for what he was pursuing in life, you know, I think he had, was going to college and whatever, he decided he wanted to join the military and go to war. So he did, and I think it was about 30 maybe when he, or somewhere in that range when he ended up serving in Afghanistan in 2009. Well, he, in that year, he agreed, he contacted, he obviously had some contact with his radio show or listened to him, but he contacted him and wanted to do a program for them to send them audio dispatches while he was on tour in Afghanistan. And it started out as an idea. He wanted to see what it was like to really go to war. It was kind of the crux of what the message he wanted to get across, maybe. And so the radio show was comprised in this segment of some of those recordings and also recent interviews as they interviewed him within this past, I don't know, half year or so after he returned and after he had been out of war for almost 2 years. Well, as he went through, we heard some almost a diary, audio diaries of what he was going through and kind of the mentality he was growing to encompass and to take on. And this soldier talked about the mindset that grew stronger and stronger and stronger within the military daily as he went about his duties. It's one that he didn't begin with. He had no idea that this mindset would kind of overtake him and encompass his life, but it was something that was very prevalent with his fellow servicemen. And it's one that he lives with to this day. He hasn't been able to get rid of it of himself. And listening to him on the radio show, he doesn't really want to either. And this mindset was the desire to kill another human. Not just a combatant, not just an enemy of our country, not just somebody that was trying to kill him. He desired to kill another human, just for the experience of killing another human. And he, along with many around him, had this strong desire to kill just for the experience of killing as well. You know, the army training that he went through and kind of the purpose of going through this boot camp and training as an infantryman is to break down those mental blocks that we all might have, those mental or those moral barriers, so that men, when they are in that position, can more easily and maybe even desire to kill. That's the purpose of the military, is to go out and kill the enemy. And these men all had this idea, but they had even a deeper desire just to get that first kill. And nobody was really, and even talked about the attitude of getting your first kill amongst his fellow soldiers. Everybody that he went out with, every day when they woke up in the morning, went out on patrol, really they talked about, and everybody knew who had and who didn't have their first kills. And once you did, once you had that first kill, you were trusted more. He said there were benefits to having that kill. People knew you would cross that barrier and protect them. And there was a trust. There was a bond that grew after you had killed somebody. Some of his quotes, and he said, you know, every mission I went on, I was hoping I would get to shoot somebody. You have the power to do it. You're on the verge of having permission to do it by military commanders, and you yearn to do it. You know, this man served 3 tours and never killed anybody directly. He shot at people who died. He called in airstrikes that killed people, and he hurt and he maimed people, but he never really had that confirmed kill of his own. Well, today when we were in the article, or when they were interviewing him, he serves from severe PTSD, which is the post-traumatic traumatic stress disorder. He's been in continual therapy with I think, four therapists in the time of that interview. And he told the interviewer, when asking about what it was like, you know, when you, because you didn't have that first kill, what were your thoughts? And he goes, you know, I missed an opportunity to do that, speaking about his time in Afghanistan. But he said, I'm pretty sure I want the opportunity to kill someone too, but I would go to jail or, in essence, a loony bin if I did it on American soil. You know, the interview wraps up with a question to him about his desire to still kill, and he states, is it wrong to kill other people regardless of motive? You know, if I had a good excuse to kill somebody today, I'd definitely take that opportunity. And this is a man that didn't start out this way. He said that, you know, when he began his military career, he had no, you know, that wasn't a craving of his, but he said he does now. He wants to, he feels he missed out in that, in his three tours of not getting that real, that confirmed kill. Brother, you know, since the rebellion of Satan, God's creation has been in a similar state of war. Countless numbers have died through man's existence because of war, and mankind has been warring against themselves since we were created and put on this earth. You know, each one of us, those of us listening in, those of us that are called out by God, are in a similar constant state of war. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 9. We are likewise in these trenches of war. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That speaks to each and every one of us, brethren, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We fight a constant battle against Satan. So what is our attitude? What are our you know, what are our motives in this war? What do we, or have we, or are we letting ourselves become? You know, this state of war on a spiritual level is true for everybody that goes under the water and becomes a follower of Christ, who is baptized and repents of their sins. Every one of us is on a spiritual war against Satan's influences. But it's also true for a few in history with God's Spirit that they fought that same war, but they also fought many physical wars. I want to look at quickly a couple men who did just that. They fought spiritual or physical wars. I want to see how much their motives played into their future plans with God and possibly eternal life. The first one, if you'll turn with me back to 1 Samuel 15, we'll look at Saul. I know there's indications that he might have, you know, that we know David most likely had God's Spirit. Saul might have been likely called and had that position and understanding as well. He was called out for the same position that David was given, and he failed at it. 1 Samuel 15 is starting in verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord." That's the key to this. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Skipping down to verse 8, he also took, after this battle, he also took Agag, king of Amalek, the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and that which was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set as Saul, or up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel knew what was given to Saul, the opportunities that were given to Saul, and he saw that he was deeply distressed that Saul had given that up. So something major, when Saul's choice had a major impact, definitely on his future. And skipping to 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowering of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them up from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. You know, what God commanded Saul to do was bloody, it was harsh, and it was complete. He wanted everyone to die. But Saul, thinking that he was doing the commandments of God, took it upon himself to interpret what he thought God really wanted, what he thought God desired. And because of his decision to not utterly destroy the Amalekites, God removed him from the position of being king. Saul's motive was incorrect. We know where I'm going next. The man who did fulfill that position, David, if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the man who stepped in because of Saul's lack of following God, David found somebody else to fulfill this position. 1 Chronicles in 28, and starting at verse 2. Then King David rose to his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. This is towards the end of his reign. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. You know, David, likewise, was a man who fought wars. And yet this was counted against him God allowing him to build the temple. You know, why would Saul lose his kingship? Because he didn't utterly destroy the Amalekites. And yet David, who was a man after God's own heart, and yet he loved, or you know, that position was given to David because he was a man after God's own heart, and yet he loved bloodshed. He loved war. Well, I think it comes down to what their motives were. You know, Saul was motivated to please God, but on his own terms. You know, David, as we know, is a very popular instrument to use in sermons. He had some really rough patches in his life. He made some big, big mistakes. But his motives could be summed up in one statement, and I think it's when he was confronted with his sin with Bathsheba. And I think this exemplifies why, with all that David did, why God continued to use him. And this is when he said, when he was confronted with what he had done, he said, I have sinned, not against himself, not against his own desires, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, it's that attitude that each of us must develop if we want to retain God in our lives. You know, it's easy to be blind led by our own desires, thinking that we might be serving God, as Saul did, or being led by the influences of this world, Satan's influences, thinking our own desires should be served first. There's a warning against that. James 4, starting at verse 1. James 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures, on your own motives, instead of serving God. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, Saul chose to become friends with this world. He even believed a witch had summoned the spirit of Samuel, all the while trying to serve God on his own terms, not fulfilling God's or the motives that would serve God. You know, this world ruled by Satan's influences changes each one of us on a daily basis. You know, like a warrior that I talked about earlier, who to this day continues to yearn to kill somebody just for the sake of killing, we can be changed to the point that God can no longer use us despite, as we heard about with Saul, despite our best intentions, our best motives. If we cross that line, cross that threshold, like Saul did, we cannot be used, and God will not use us. You know, God gave Solomon a choice, just as he gave each one of us a choice, when he was given that opportunity to build God's temple. And we know that his life didn't end. You know, some of his, he went through some rough patches as well, but I will just cite this as a final scripture, 1 Chronicles 29 and 9. And this is the same opportunity each one of us have. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Brethren, always focus on God's motives. Our relationship with God depends on it.